Blog Talk Radio.
Hottest topics.
Hottest music.
And the hottest ladies.
You're listening to the Girlfriend Network,
where women stay connected. With your host, Nick Holmes.
Tahira
and Karishma on the Love Zone USA.
On the Love Zone USA.
On the Love Zone USA.
Welcome to the Girlfriend Network. Happy Monday, everyone. I am your host, Tahira Sutton, and I just want to welcome everyone back to the Girlfriend Network. We have a beautiful show for you this evening, so I'm not going to hold up. I'm going to introduce the other girls. So, Nicole Martin and Karishma Thomas, welcome. How are you, ladies?
Hey, hey.
Hey. How is everyone? I'm doing wonderful. How are you two ladies
great.
Doing?
Awesome.
Great,
happy
great.
New Year, everybody, and to our listeners.
Yeah.
Happy New Year.
A lot of
ladies,
happy Army.
January
yes,
is almost
and we
over.
Are back. I know. Time goes so quickly. It's crazy. And it's cold, and I hate it.
Well, today was pretty nice.
Well,
so.
Yeah, today was pretty cool.
We're really excited.
We're going back into the deep freeze, I understand. So get ready.
Yeah. Well, it is
But it's so great to hear your voices and to be back. And we got a great guest tonight. I'm so excited.
Yes.
I am in the concert years ago, so I can't wait to talk about that. So.
I
am really excited too. I've actually been like, I wasn't feeling too well earlier, but I was just jamming out and like listening to his songs. I was listening to the Anatomy of a Love Song album.
Yes.
I'm I'm just enjoying this.
Yes.
I'm like, this has been great. I am so excited.
I'm really excited.
Can you also believe that it's a new year, so it is award season now. What award shows have you guys been watching? Are you most excited for? What have you loved so far to date?
I'm really excited about the Grammys that it's going to be here in New York, the 60th Grammys. So really excited. Who are you guys rooting for? I'm really rooting for me, myself, Carly B.
Yes!
I want her to get a Grammy.
Yes, me too. She is amazing, and I love her story. I love her story. Now, that is the come-up queen of the year. So,
yes, she is. I think she deserves it completely. I mean, she came out with, like, a smash hit out of nowhere, and no one believed in her, and she did it. And I think she is so real. She is, like, unapologetically herself. And I think we haven't seen that in so long. And she has broken all kinds of records. And so it's she deserves a Grammy, like, every step of the way. I really am voting for her. I think she'll get it. I think if she doesn't get it,
she's gonna
get
it.
Really big upset.
At least
she's
new artist, right, guys? She should.
She's run a lot. I mean, I feel like she was the underdog. No one anticipated her and
absolutely
what she had
not.
To bring, and I don't think people really took her serious, and she really showed and proved. I'm really excited about her as an artist and to see her grow into different roles in the business. So I'm just rooting for her, and I want to see her get this Grammy. So
same, and I think she also proved that it wasn't just like a one hit wonder kind of thing where like it was only Bodak Yellow. Like she came out with other songs that were really great. She did some amazing collabs.
Yeah,
like her and Bruno Mars.
The Bruno Mars.
Song.
That video was amazing. She has another banger out. Don't know the name, but I call myself Bougie Ratchet, where I'm bougie in one half and ratchet in the other. I'm really ratchet in the gym because I love the ratchet music. And she has a banger. I think it's with Offset. They're playing it on the radio right now, and it's fire, too, in my opinion. So she is really doing it. And I read something where I believe she signed on for a season with Being Mary Jane. I think she's going to be on Being Mary Jane, guys. She got a role on that show. And if that's true, now that's amazing. That's amazing. And I just love Cardi B because her story is amazing, from growing up in poverty, stripper, being abused. You know, she got instant fame, not instant, but she got fame on Instagram, used that platform to get on the reality show, used the reality show to springboard, you know, into her music career. And look at her. Like, look at her. It's amazing. Like, she needs to give, like, seminars on how to hustle and how to do the come up, right?
No,
yeah, and I mean, that's being debated, too, because some people are like, oh, that's not the way you do it.
Right.
Glorify stripping. So,
right,
yeah, I mean,
right.
It's a two-way street. I just feel like she was the underdog. I don't care pretty much what she did before. And she just
right.
showed and proved the talent that was always there. So I'm really
Definitely.
Excited
and
for her.
You can't hold people's, like, past lives against them. You know what I mean? Everyone has a different story. Everyone
yeah.
has to go through different things. And there are certain
True,
circumstances
Karish.
That are not, you know, like, avoidable in certain cases. But also,
Absolutely.
When she was on Love & Hip Hop, it was one of the other stars that was, like, getting all this, like, oh, she's going to be the next rapper. Oh, my gosh, I forgot that girl's name. But off the top of my head, it was actually her that they were kind of predicting to be famous. And then Cardi B, like, also came out of nowhere from there where it was like, oh. So it wasn't even like Love & Hip Hop was really trying to help her out there because
right
supporting the other star saying that she was going to be the one who was going to kind of come out with this
Hernandez?
Song and...
the Puerto Rican princess
I think so
it?
Didn't she come out yeah
maybe
I think
it
so.
Was
I'm
yeah because she definitely
I don't know
to...
if people really took her serious I mean she's a good artist but I guess
mm-hmm.
you
yeah.
know I'm not a music producer
yeah.
or anything like that but it's just not something that Carly's brings in music that I believe that was
yes.
always there. And sometimes,
yes.
like, in life, your gift will make room for you. And I think right now her gift is,
right.
is making room for her, and I wish her all the best. So what other
yeah.
surprise Grammy nominees do you guys feel should get a Grammy?
I don't know, but I'll tell you who I also love because for the same reason Karishma is saying, she's unapologetic herself. She don't give a damn. She just does her, and I'm excited to see her because I think she's badass, and that is Rihanna. I love her.
Mm-hmm.
I love her. I
really?
Think she's dope when it comes to her style. I don't know if she's up for any awards, but I'm just excited. I believe she may be performing, so I'm just excited that she's in the house this year, in the building.
I wonder if Jay-Z is going to go home with any awards. I mean, I did hear that this past tour, I had a couple friends that went, and I had a friend that she's pretty much been to every one of Jay-Z's tours, and she said this past one was his best one yet.
Yeah.
The 444 tour was, like, it was amazing. Like, she said that he performed the entire time, and she went and saw it at Barclays, so it's also, like, you're seeing it in Jay-Z's home ground. And she said that it was the first time where he performed the whole time. He was there. He did a mix of everything. And she said it was a spectacular show. Like, he was kind of back in his element. So I feel like I have a feeling he's going to go away with something as well.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least, like,
yeah.
a pretty heavy contender.
Yeah, you're probably right. I didn't go to his concert, but I know so many people that went, Karish. And they all said great things. Like, they loved it. You know, they were like, it was off the chain. And just like you said, it was his best one. A lot of people really loved this album. This album got great reviews. And they really, you know, loved his performance with the old and the new. So, yeah.
There are two things I want to say about the Grammys, though. I want to say how I absolutely love how, like, Pink is still nominated, and she is just, like,
oh,
there
yeah.
and has been dominating for years.
Yes.
I'm like, I
love
absolutely
her too.
Love it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I love
yeah.
Pink. I'm a Pink fan,
yes.
but I love most about Pink is performance. Anyone
mm-hmm.
that
yes, brings it.
can get,
she does,
like,
right?
I don't think any artist that I know that catches my attention performance-wise
right.
like that, like Pink. But I'm really excited about tonight's guest, Mr. Kenny Lattimore. So I can't wait to get into speaking to him. He just brings such a wealth of music to us, and I cannot wait to speak to him.
Yeah, I think speaking of that, I'm sorry, go ahead, lady.
No, go ahead, Karishma. I was just going to say this album is dope. I love it. It's amazing. He killed it. He really did. So
definitely. I think we should go into his song Push off his new album Vulnerable and bring him back to the show after this so the audience can get a taste. This is one of my favorite songs, so
yes.
I'm ready to dig out.
So let's go into Push right here on the Girlfriend Network, and we'll come back with Mr. Kenny Lattimore right here on the Girlfriend Network.
With you say now don't mean a thing more. What is done, we can't get it back. We can fight and fight and fight. That'll ruin my mind. I pushed you away. Worst move I made for you. Gotta get you. Lifeline, you were all mine. You were. Now it hurts to think that someone has a chance. Another heartless romance, cycle of love wasted again. Oh, what is done, we can't get it back. We can fight and fight and fight, but that'll ruin my. About it every day.
Up after the song.
Welcome back to the Girlfriend Network. I'm your host, Tahira Sutton. Welcome back, ladies.
Hello.
Hello, hello.
Hi, welcome back, everyone. So, super excited. We have, oh my goodness, Mr. Kenny Lattimore, and we have a contact.
Hey.
So, callers.
Woo!
Oh,
it's Kenny! Hey,
oh,
Kenny!
Hey.
Welcome, welcome. Welcome to the Girlfriend Network.
I'm surrounded with ladies.
Yes.
Yes.
So, callers, please call in. Win your free CD by calling in and have a chance to talk to Kenny. Oh, I'm super excited. Kenny, thank you for accepting our invitation to come on and spend time with us on the Girlfriend Network. We're all
Absolutely.
Fans of your work. We love your work.
Yes.
So.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you. I appreciate
okay, so,
that. Well,
okay. Right. So, I'm thinking back from Mannequin to the Kenny now.
Mannequin?
Had,
wait a minute.
Yeah.
Wait,
yeah.
You go all the way back to Mannequin with me?
Well, let's be honest, 100%. I grew up with parents that listened to, you know, R&B music, soul.
All right,
I remember, and as a, you know, I sing myself, so I sometimes go back to, you know, my roots to see, you know, get inspiration. So if you had if you had to compose an album from Mannequin Kenny into Kenny now, what would be that musical formula that you would use?
From Mannequin to Kenny
now,
the formula. You know, it's interesting because even when I go back to the lyrics and everything that I was doing with Mannequin, there's a consistency.
Uh-huh.
I've always been singing to the hearts of women and to the minds of men, encouraging them in love. Back then, the songs were Now and Then. It's fun. I got a funny feeling. I'm falling in love. Maybe it was a little cornier because when you're younger and you don't have the life experience, you know, you don't think about things that you're not living or what have you. Well, I didn't at least. But what I know is that the consistency of love as a theme would always be a part of the music and about authentic experience. So that as I was growing with the listener, we got to that point where it was like, okay, for you, I'd give a lifetime of stability. In order for me to say that, I had to have a real idea about what that sacrifice really meant. I put up a post the other day, and I was like, real love requires sacrifice. And I didn't mean that you lay yourself out to die, you know, but it does require some responsible sacrifice and dying to self. As much as we're a society that is about me, 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 that's the society we're in. I want what's best for me and all of that. In order to be in a successful relationship, you cannot be all about yourself. You have to be about the service to another person. So it's all of that kind of theme that has made me probably a little different than everybody else. And it came with a price. It wasn't always easy to stand and talk about the stuff I'm talking about, particularly when I was younger. It was almost like, don't you want to just have some fun? And it was like, cool, but I am having fun. I'm living my dream, but my ideas about love and all of that are on a higher pedestal. So it started with Mannequin.
And it started. Wow.
Yeah.
I love that.
When I really started, when I was in Mannequin, as a matter of fact, I wanted to be, I come from the gospel market as well, but came into gospel music a little later on. I wanted to be like BB and CC Winans, actually.
Yeah.
So if you can imagine all of that.
Yeah, Kenny.
Infused together. But go ahead, I'm listening to you.
No. We've all been researching you. You know, we knew that you were going to come on. So that's a different dynamic because, you know, gospel is gospel. How was that? And then I know the other girls have questions. How was that transition? Because even like doing R&B, some things, I mean, was it a fight at any point where you had to not fight with yourself, but literally maybe fight with yourself, if that makes sense?
Yeah, no, that totally makes sense. Because if anybody, just in case you know, one of the listeners is not from the church, if you will, one of the things that I absolutely love the church, but one of the things that has been difficult about being a part of the church is that we're just human beings, but a lot of people that are on spiritual journeys and are trying to grow and trying to make personal statements sometimes begin to judge other people if they're not on the same journey at the same time as them. So in music, what would happen is you have people that were like, we don't think that you should be doing, which is already wrong, you know, I don't think that you should be doing well with your life unless it's something really detrimental. But really in music, I think people did feel like it was detrimental, that the messages, there's the sacred and the secular, but the word secular really means without God. And sacred, we understand what sacred is. I always felt that my music was with God because the love that was expressed in the music was the real thing. I wasn't out just saying whatever. So coming from the church, I had the struggle of being charged to rise up or raise up a standard that would still allow me to walk into the church, and that's what I really purposed to do. because I was like, one day I'm going to be singing the gospel too. I don't want them looking at me side-eyed like I'm crazy because I was saying something contrary. At the same time, I'm clearly singing a love song, and I stand in the fact that if I can have the conversation out of my mouth, if I can talk about something, then I can sing about it because it's all coming from the same place and come from the same heart. So it took some time for me to mature into my own ideas after coming from the church and making sure that I wasn't just trying to live out somebody else's ideas about who I should be.
Perfect. That definitely answered my question.
No, definitely. I love that. Kenny, I want to talk about, you know, this new album and everything like that. I was watching one of your other interviews earlier, and you said at that time Anatomy of a Love Song was a reflection of kind of where you were at that time. So how would you describe Vulnerable? Like, what would you say that it is represented for you in 2018 and kind of where you are in life?
It does represent a very settled Kenny. I'm very settled. I feel like I've been really blessed to achieve a lot of my goals and to, you know, have this established career and an established life. I've got a 14-year-old son, and you know, I sing about that on the album. And all of that's very settling, and it's very sobering, if you will. And so the Kenny today is open to love in a different way. It's not scary. I've lived it. I've lived marriage. I've lived divorce. I've lived the ups and downs of life. So the vulnerable Kenny is the guy that looks at vulnerability as a decision. That, you know, when a lot of people are afraid of love because they're afraid of getting hurt and they're afraid and they put these walls up. No, this is not going to happen to me. And but I've lived enough now where I feel like I choose to be vulnerable, and I'm cool and I'm open to love right now in a way that if someone even began to do something that was offensive, I don't know, I look at it differently. I look at the other person's journey and wholeness. When I look at, because I'm looking at it from the standpoint that I was in an 8-year marriage, and you learn more about yourself. It was really long
when you're married,
actually. But, yeah, when I was married. But
when you're married, you learn so much about yourself,
and it's like, man, if you choose to, I chose to learn about me, what I would tolerate, what I wouldn't, how to. I can tell you one of the great things that I learned in marriage was how to communicate better. I'm not saying I'm a super master,
effective communication,
but communicating to the heart of a woman is so different for a guy. So if you guys are in relation, if you ladies rather are in a relationship with a good guy, cut him some slack. We were made totally different.
Absolutely, we
just aren't socialized in the same way. So sometimes we can come off really crazy, but hopefully his heart is good enough where he tries at least. To communicate to you in a way that touches your emotion and where you can understand. Because I remember different women asking, how you doing, Kenny? I'm cool. That's a guy. Like, oh, I'm good. I'm good. What?
Everything's okay.
And it's like, well, no, how are you feeling today? Like, are you happy? Are you sad? What are your emotions? We're just not used to communicating in that manner, and it takes some maturity to get there.
It takes a growth. I mean, we talk about this is a love show, so we do talk about, you know, the art of communication, the nature of love, and how women love and how men love. But I think, and Kenny, you could attest to this, marriage will put a mirror to you and show you your real identification of love. How did you use that, whether good or bad? And it's, I think marriage and divorce, because I've been through both, is growth. It's growth for yourself, your soul.
How
did you take that, all those wonderful lessons, because they're lessons, whether, you know, we want to see it or not, it's lessons in life. How did you take that and then infuse that into, you know, music and song? Did you ever feel that, no, this is too vulnerable, I'm too vulnerable, and I don't want to give this because this is my story?
You know what? I felt like I took it more into the performance. So... If you can imagine, okay, if you saw me sing for you in 1999 or whatever, in 2000, I don't think I sing it the same way today.
Huh.
I think that when I step up to the mic, the words mean something different to me now. So even though I had an idea and I had ideals about what love was when I was recording that song, the experience that I sing it from now is what is you can't really touch.
So how would you sing it? Would
it
be
take a lot of effort.
Yeah, would it be like softer? Because like I get what you're saying. I can totally mirror what you're saying. Because when you, I think especially marriage and divorce, it just does something with you, and you look at life a little bit different. Not good or bad. It's just
it's different.
It's a process. So I think like saying, you know, for that song, maybe you would be like a little bit more delicate. Well, it's a beautiful song already, but the meaning and everything, how would you approach it differently?
I think that I approach it in a way that's more conversational, where when I sang it in the beginning of its inception, the performance, I thought, oh, yeah, I'll sing this softer or I'll sing this more delicate and I'll crescendo here and I'll make this louder and I'll hold that note. And now it's almost like, no, there's something about it that when I step up that I know what those words mean so well that when it comes out, it doesn't even have to come out in the exact melody. It's just conversational, like we're just talking and we're in an intimate room together and I'm just giving it to you. That's what it feels like. It's something that you would have to feel in the moment.
Kenny, so I have to say this because you were talking back in the 2000s. I had the distinct honor and pleasure of seeing you in concert. And you probably don't even remember this because I've known you perform so many places over so many years. But it was actually at the Del East. Fairmont Park, it was outside, and I think you had been married to Shantae for maybe a couple of years. Let me tell you, that experience was amazing because I went with someone on a date who I did not like. I was not into at all. But when he said, "It's Kenny Lattimore and Shantae Moore," I was like, oh, okay, I'm going to suck this up and take it for the team. Let me tell you something, Kenny, and I mean this with the utmost I'm serious. I mean this with the utmost sincerity. Like, after I saw you perform, I was definitely a fan and had so much respect for you. I mean, I love for you because during that time, there wasn't a wedding that I went to that a bride was not coming down the aisle to that song.
Yeah.
Like the bride and groom had their first dance, right? Are you with me, lady?
Yeah.
Like, it was
that was my song.
Years.
I
it still
wedding,
is.
So.
It still is at a wedding. But, Kenny, I'm so serious when I say I was moved to tears when I saw your performance. And, you know, it was so crazy. I just left there feeling so uplifted, so different. And I was saddened because the love, the energy, your performance was so amazing that I was like, I'm so sad that the person I'm here with, I don't love or I don't care about. Because if I had cared about him, like, that night would have been epic. And I'm not saying this, you know, to woo-woo-woo, but I'm so serious. And from that moment, I was like, Kenny Lattimore doesn't even get the respect that he deserves. And the girls and I were talking earlier. We've all listened to your album and listened to what we can listen to. This album is amazing. You hit this out of the park. And I was very sad because I saw something where you said you almost walked away from R&B because you thought your last album, Autonomy of a Love Story, didn't get its just due or the support from fans or your label. So, Kenny, I am so happy that you stayed the course. And whatever happened, whatever transitions you went through or metamorphosis that you had, that you decided to give your fans and us, the listeners, like another shot because –
I appreciate it.
Love this album. So congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. And let me just say for the record, what happened was when I finished the Anatomy of a Love song and we put it out and everything, I really did not feel like I had anything more to say. It wasn't about the support. We had a top 10 song with Love Me Back. And the album was well received, and I had so many deals and offers that came after that album. But for R&B music, I just felt like I think I've said everything I can say. That's how I really felt. And it had been almost 20 years and all of that since For You, and my career started. And I was like, I think that I want to do something different. And I needed the Christmas album.
Yeah.
I think I needed personally the Christmas album to take me out of that space for a minute. And let me get back to my spirit and who I was and as a man of God. And then I looked back at it and I said, you know what, after we finished the Christmas album, I said, I think I have to do another R&B album because we had success on the last one. So just as a business person, I need to come back. But I still didn't know what I was going to say. And because I'm so lyric conscious, I felt heavy about it. And I was really blessed to have worked on my last two albums and do the song Love Me Back and do some of the Christmas albums with a dude named Dracar Wesley.
Yes, and congrats on your Stellar Award. So just want to throw that out there. Congratulations.
Thank you so much. So when Dracar Wesley and I got in the room, it evolved from there. And so I appreciate the fact that you love it. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, Kenny, let's talk about, because in music sometimes you have to get out of the box to get back into the box, and it seems like you did that with Christmas. And I think, I don't know, I just, as a singer, sometimes you have to just rebound. And for Christmas, tell us about that tour, because that was phenomenal within itself,
Thank you.
What was that experience like, being on tour, things like that?
Exactly what you said. You said it very well. Getting out of the box so that you can kind of at least define the box or the box is. It changes. For me, the Christmas album was awesome because I didn't have to be bound to make the album with a specific genre. So it starts out very R&B, and then it gets kind of smooth jazz, and it goes straight ahead jazz. Then I get to do like an aria, and then I get to do gospel and praise and worship. It was like I was all over the place, and it's okay to do on a Christmas album. I think that's what I needed. It was almost like me just screaming out, all this stuff is inside of me, and I want everybody to know.
It gets classical at one point. I was just so impressed.
Yeah.
I'm like, this sounds like classical. So sometimes I think that box, we kind of put ourselves in limits. But with that, you really got out of the box. You really explored other talents and other gifts that were there, but light wasn't really shed on it. So I was just really impressed in that. And I'm just really impressed with the evolution of you, and you keep it really real with yourself as an artist.
Thank you.
How do you do that? Because I do feel like you're really the king of romance, and no one knows, like, even with the voice and how we hear you.
Management on this call, you can say.
Okay, definitely. We're going to get a lot of season here. There's a lot of season in this conversation. Nothing is by accident. Nothing is by accident. It's not. I'm so serious. But I just feel like, you know, sometimes in certain situations, certain lights are shed. And when I heard that, I was just like, wow, I hear classical. I hear jazz, a little like Motown almost, in a sense.
All of that.
So I got super excited. And I had a celebrity friend with me, and we're like listening to this. And we're like, okay, because she's a James Brown fan. So she's like, I hear a little James Brown in it too. So I'm just really, really impressed as a musician how you can be very, very true to yourself and then reflect it off to your listeners. Just keep it real.
Thank you. But you know what? Just like this conversation is happening and how you all as ladies and girlfriends have been sticking together and having these conversations, I think anything that reflects groundedness about me has to do with the circle of people that I've lived with and that I've lived around. Okay. I think I've surrounded myself with people who, it's just like a lot of the celebrities would tell you, yeah, when I go home, my mama's like, and you still taking that trash out, you know?
Yeah.
You got to have those people around you.
And you're
Yes, you're not the first celebrity that said that. It's so important. Somebody else says the same thing. I'm not going to tell who it is. But he lived in Trenton at the time. I was his girlfriend. Well, I didn't know I was his girlfriend, but I was his girlfriend. And we pull up, and I'm just like, you know, he's all established. And his mother's like, don't forget the garbage.
Right.
And I was just like, whoa. So, yes, I definitely understand
but
how it's so important that you stay grounded.
And take it to a deeper level that
mm-hmm.
you need those friends that remember when, if
yeah.
you can, because everybody may not have that. I have friends that out here in L.A. and on the East Coast that I've known, and we've been close since 13. I mean, multiple friends, 9, you know, really, really for many years, and they've seen the evolution. They understand my heart and my intent. So that when we're communicating, we don't have these, you know, crazy little falling outs about silliness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that it's wonderful when you have people who love you who may not be your brothers. And I have brothers and sisters, too. And my oldest sister in particular is a psychologist, and
mm-hmm.
she checks me. She'll check me in a minute. I can't say, even if I'm saying something about somebody else, she'll be like, hold on, let's back up for a moment. What are you saying exactly? You know, when you have
mm-hmm.
people that keep you, that keep love at the forefront too.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, my greatest example is Jesus Christ. Everybody may not believe in Jesus Christ or what have you, but
mm-hmm.
if you just read about what he did and how he handled other people, it's so
mm-hmm.
phenomenal. It's so not how we handle people today. Even the people that call themselves Christians and stuff don't handle themselves
right.
the way he really handled people. He was really open to everybody. And
yeah.
It's about understanding that we're all human, we're all of one race, and we all are going to be flawed and all of those things together. And it's very humbling when you think about it. Nobody arrives.
Yes, absolutely. And I feel that, Kenny, in your music, like you really move in compassion and you move in love. And even though it's not like what we would consider to say gospel, you know,
mm-hmm.
and I'm saying
mm-hmm.
it's my aunt is Shirley Caesar, so I could say, you
sure.
know, what's gospel. But you move in the, she would say, anointing of love. Like, and I really feel like when I hear that, I was just like, you know, it's not gospel, but there is a message that you are singing still. And I believe
and
you
I
are healing
Shirley
and touching.
So I had to laugh because I'm like, I love Shirley Caesar. She's your aunt.
Yeah.
That's, what an honor. Oh,
yes.
My God.
Oh,
yeah.
My goodness.
And
Shirley,
yes. Yeah. When you're called to something, too,
mm-hmm.
when you're called to something and you have purpose in it, I think you walk in it with a deeper depth, a more responsible mind. If you think, you know, this is my way to touch the world. And
mm-hmm.
when I look back, it's very humbling and the responsibility and the power. To sing something and somebody be moved to tears, that's a very powerful thing. I feel responsible. Like, the way that I handle that gift has to be with the utmost respect and
mm-hmm.
compassion, as you said. So I appreciate
mm-hmm.
these. I appreciate these words. You're feeding me right now. You are
Thank
feeding
you.
Me.
I think everything is designed for purpose. Everything is designed for purpose.
Yeah.
And even, like, maybe the next album. I don't know. Like, where I just feel like, you know, when you set a sign, there's a certain assignment that's, you know, presented by you, and you set the tone pretty much. But I just, when I hear it, it's people talk about gospel all the time, and I really feel like you are healing people, and your message is so, like, you know, not gospel, but if we get back to what, you know, Jesus did, that's what I feel, the compassion
mm-hmm.
that he
mm-hmm.
has and how he moved
yeah.
and was able to touch, you know, people with words,
and I feel that's what
you do in your music.
And I appreciate that because there's a song on this album called Deserve, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when I was recording it, I just heard this melody. The melody was almost haunting. That, you know, you don't deserve to wait any longer. I'm ready to make you mine forever. You don't deserve to wait. And it just kept going. And when I was learning
mm-hmm.
it and I was going through and trying to place it, I just stepped back from it. I was like, this is really simple. Okay, the production is not way, way over the top.
Mm-hmm.
And when I finished it, I was like, wow, I know it resonates to me a certain way. But when I hear, when I heard back from women, and some women were feeling like, this is healing music to me.
It is.
I was like, really? You know, because mm-hmm. when you're creating, you really, you know and you don't know. I think you kind of, you hope.
You're guessing? Yeah, you're like, but
not,
you
not
have to
guessing
understand,
exactly,
Katie,
but
you,
you're doing
you
something,
things,
you're hoping.
Like you said, you talked about calling, Kenny, and I believe
yes.
in that, what you said, that I think you have a certain calling. So when you present things, it's conveyed a certain way because of the calling that's connected to it. And you, cause
yes.
I believe it's healing, because at times,
yeah.
even when the marriage, you know, I was going through marriage divorce, and For You came over,
mm-hmm.
that was our song. So
mm-hmm.
every time I would hear it, literally I would break down in tears, because I was just like,
wow,
that was me in the song.
Mm-hmm.
But like you said, even in that divorce stage, it was ministering to me in a way that was just like, you know, this is for you, not
mm-hmm.
with that person. You had that for that time.
Mm-hmm.
But now you still, you, it's still for you, just not with
yeah.
that particular person. So I believe it's healing in it. I believe
yeah.
that you, you know, when you are assigned to certain things, it's conveyed in that way.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe it's,
I appreciate
not
that.
I don't want to say gospel, because, well, let's
mm-hmm.
say gospel.
So,
it is good news.
You know,
it's good.
It's good news. One day I went to sing at a function, right? And
mm-hmm.
just in I receive what you, what you're saying, and the healing
okay.
part.
Yeah.
And I sang all these songs, I'm Not Too Busy For You, and Can We Find Forgiveness in the Throes of Our Misunderstanding. I was just singing all these different songs. And at the end, a woman came up to me, and a very prominent divorce was going on. Or the couple was prominent, and the divorce was pretty nasty. And she looked at me and she said, you know what, I needed to hear a man say these words.
Mm.
And
mm.
that was so powerful to me at the
uh-huh.
at that moment in that time. I was like, really? And she said, yep, because it's hard to believe certain things when they're just ideas in your head. But I needed to hear a man, like literally to see a man and hear him say the words that she was saying out of your mouth. And it healed, it helped to heal her heart. And I thought that was one of the most powerful moments in my entire life, because when I was on that stage, I wasn't thinking that deep, you know, at all. It's like, I'm just in purpose, as you were talking. And when she said that, I was like, wow, it made everything so much more significant.
Okay.
Oh, that's
beautiful.
Amazing, Kenny. I think as I'm very like deeply rooted in church, and I absolutely love it. And I truly believe that God gives us talents for a reason, because it's not just about the miracle that he's working in us, but the way that we affect others around us and the way that we're supposed to impact them and do service to them and help them. And if you
yeah.
weren't creating this amazing music, you wouldn't be helping people heal. You wouldn't be helping people understand love in a different way. And I think that's what's so
mm.
special about your music.
Mm. Thank you so
I
much.
I agree. Karishma,
thank
I agree.
You.
I think there's a gospel album in there coming.
Yeah, yeah. And you know what's so funny, because I did the Christmas album on Motown Gospel, and with an incredible friend of mine, Mr. Aaron Lindsay, who did a lot of Israel Houghton's music, and
mm-hmm.
Marvin Sapp, and just a lot of amazing Hugh Monk, Brian Courtney Wilson songs that have really ministered to the hearts of us as people across the world. And it's on the agenda. I think there's only one more. I want to do a jazz album or an EP.
Jazz. Mm-hmm.
I don't have to do a full-out jazz album, but I want to at least do an EP, because I came from singing the American Songbook, and I came from
okay.
singing classical music very early in my life, even before the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, that is one of those things that's just authentic to me that I want to express and have, like, in my collection of what I've done, so that when people think of Kenny Lattimore, they know, oh, yeah, remember this album here where he did Frank Sinatra or Nat King Cole or whatever. And in my shows now, I do classical and I do jazz along with the R&B to tell my story. And I did not know how powerful that was going to be, because I was like, man, I would have done this a long time ago if I had realized. But sometimes we discount our journey, And we discount the details of our journey because we don't think it's significant. And all of a sudden, that very small thing that lived with so much power, it touches the heart of somebody else. And then they're like, wow, I knew you could sing, but I didn't know you could sing. You know, or whatever. I don't think people knew
yes.
how to describe what was happening
mm-hmm.
because it was so different. And I tell you, I would have done it a long time ago. But I'm glad that I finally embraced the fact that, yep, I did. I grew up singing this stuff, and I guess we used to laugh at it. It was almost like, this is some fun stuff. I'm singing.
Mm-hmm.
I left my heart in San Francisco. I don't think the R&B people are going to like it or whatever. But then when I realized, I was like, no, my listener grew up listening to all different types of styles of music. And even the ones that are younger, that may not have even been, you know, adults when For You came out, if they mm-hmm. drift over to listen to me, they probably are listening to various genres of music and appreciating
mm-hmm.
them. And there's a sophistication to the ear of the listener. I'm not saying everybody's the same, but when I look into the audience, a lot of times I'll just say, I think you guys are sophisticated enough to handle this. And I just make a joke about it, and I'll go into
mm-hmm.
it, and they appreciate it. And it makes me feel great because it makes me feel like they appreciate my background and they appreciate me more.
Absolutely. That's amazing, Kenny, because it is amazing. A genre of things like you. I heard like Marvin Gaye. I heard.
Yeah.
I also did
the American Songbook.
Okay. Yeah. Because I told you in the house, my household was Stephanie Mills. Marvin Gaye. It was James Brown all the time. So like
mm-hmm.
me listening, I heard like classical, and I kind of like because I sing opera. So I'm like, I hear
mm-hmm.
some classical, and then I hear the R&B, but there's gospel now. And I know
mm-hmm.
that you said that, I know you grew up in the DMV. So,
yes.
You know, was that native to you because the actual area or just, you know, you just was curious about music and you just picked all the, how did that come about? Like, how did it become like a melting pot of song?
I think D.C. was a very diverse and exquisite area to grow up in for music because it was the home of the Quiet Storm. So the Quiet Storm was birthed by a gentleman named Melvin Lindsay, amazing disc jock who combined jazz and R&B, and they called
mm-hmm.
it progressive jazz.
Yes.
So at the same time, you have that. Then you have go-go music in D.C., which was live. So we were very much about live music and how did it really sound. I don't know. I think now we're in a generation where a lot of the young kids may not have heard live music in the same manner to know that it doesn't sound the same as the record. You know what I mean?
mm-hmm.
Now we mix in stems and computers and all of that so that it sounds like the record. But the reality was, if you had a great song, it could translate in so many different ways live, and people appreciated that growing up. So I remember my parents were into music, so they would allow me to go to, back then was the Capitol Center, and they might take me to see Earth, Wind & Fire or the Gap
mm-hmm.
Band or, you know, all those groups, the older groups. And, you know, just everything seemed like it was at my disposal because D.C. was such a melting pot. It was so cosmopolitan that everybody in entertainment was going to come through the city. And we spend our money. We still do. When I go back to D.C., it could be 5 different shows going on in one night, but all of them could be sold out because the
mm-hmm.
people in the DMV are really
mm-hmm.
into the arts.
Yeah.
The Kennedy Center and all of the different things that became staples, you know, are just a reflection of the way that we were into the arts.
That is amazing.
Amazing.
Oh, Kenny.
Hey.
We thank you.
I love you
we
back.
Do. Yeah, we do love you, and we thank you. I know you have to go,
thank
but
you.
We can talk forever
yeah.
with you.
Exactly.
And hopefully, oh, man,
wow. We could talk forever, and especially me with music. I could sit down and dissect every song with you because I'm a nerd
well,
of music.
Yes, feel free to come back.
Absolutely.
Once your album, you know, is out there and you want to come back and we'll play more songs and we'll talk to you and see how it's going at that time, we would love to have you back.
I love it. Absolutely. That would be fantastic. It would be my honor.
Okay. And thank you again for coming to the Girlfriend Network. We wish you all the success. Just keep on your journey. And I just love that it comes from your heart. And it sounds like your heart is really, really connected to God. So just keep on that journey. And we look forward
thank
to new, the new music. The new music. This was great.
Hey,
so thank you again.
I appreciate you. Until next time, much love.
Okay.
Take care.
Thank you. Bye. So, ladies. Okay. Ladies.
Yes.
Ladies, it got really quiet.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, we're here.
So, that is amazing. Let's get into his single, Stay on Your Mind. Oh, my goodness. Stay on Your Mind, Mr. Kenny Lattimore, right here on the Girlfriend Network.
The Love Zone USA. Back to back to back to back to back to back.
Thank you. like it, babe. We can turn off the lights, you. Gonna give all of me to you. Yeah, all I wanna do is stay on your mind. I know you be stressed, and let me take care of it. I wanna stay on your mind. I got a confession, it's my profession.
The Girlfriend Network. That was a phenomenal interview by Mr. R&B singer Kenny Lattimore. Thank you again for stopping by and having a talk with us. Welcome back, everyone.
Hey, ladies, that was so great. I feel like that was such an interview. We got to know so much about him, and I feel like the audience really got to know him too. And I am really excited to have that be kind of our Monday music. Be this yeah. new album, Vulnerable, and that's definitely going to be what I'm jamming out to this week.
Definitely. Absolutely. I'm going to spend some more time with it. It just was so intimate, and I just loved the conversation that we had. I believe that he was just his real self, and he presents that authenticity that you really don't hear in the music world today. So I just was really, really grateful that he could stop by and really chat with us, ladies.
Yes, and I can't believe, like, I saw this man in concert. Oh, my goodness. What is this, like, almost, like 20 years ago? I know. It's so crazy, though. But, guys, I don't remember a lot in my life. But I seriously remember that. And I seriously remember his concert and being in awe of him and just totally blown away by him. And, of course, you know, Shantae Moore. And just sitting next to this guy, like, I totally ilk, you know what I mean? But it's so worth going on this date with you, who I don't like, to, you know, get to experience this performance. So, yeah, it was pretty cool. So, yeah, that's my memory of Kenny Lattimore, and I'm just so happy that, you know, I got to see him in concert. But I was really sad that, guys, he almost walked away from R&B. Like, he was totally frustrated and just done.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
His process has been amazing, and I'm just glad that, you know, he stuck around, because I really love this album, and, you know,
yes.
so many songs on there that I really love that I even want to send to my boyfriend. Like, look at this
mm-hmm.
one. Like, the one he was talking about, Deserve. But he's like,
yes.
oh, and he's basically saying you deserve to be a wife, my wife. Like, hey, mm-hmm. I like this.
Absolutely.
But,
so that's why
yeah.
we love Kenny, and we thank you guys for tuning
mm-hmm.
in to us right here on the Girlfriend Network, and we're going to let you guys go until next Monday, and we'll be back right here on the Girlfriend Network. Good night, everyone.
Take
Bye,
care,
guys.
Ladies.
Bye.
is